Let's do this.
What is virtualization?
You're going to learn today.
Innovate like a startup. Deliver like an enterprise.
I hope you're coffeeed up and ready because it's going to be a great day.
I know you're going to dig this.
Oh, yeah.
You're listening to the Virtually Speaking Podcast with Pedro Aero and John Nicholson.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Virtually Speaking Podcast, episode number 115. My name is Pete Fletcher, a.k.a. Pedro Aero, and joining me once again is John Nicholson and a whole bunch of other people. But first you, John, what's up, buddy?
I'm feeling, first off, super caffeinated. I set the grind wrong or something. I don't know. I definitely got some sludge grade coffee this morning.
Oh, yeah.
And second, I'm feeling a little overwhelmed. We've got a lot of guests today.
Oh yeah. 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 We've got a, we've got a Brady Bunch cast here. I'm using Zoom and I've got it in gallery mode. So I've got all the squares, man. We should probably do like one of those photos where people are like looking down and looking up and do like the whole, anyway.
Hollywood Squares, right?
Yes, the Hollywood Squares. That's it. Exactly. So
not going to happen.
Yeah. All right. So let's start introducing some of these random voices so we can put some voices to names here. Starting with the product manager of Virtual Volumes, Mr. Brian Young. Brian, welcome to the podcast.
All right. Hey, Pete. Great to be here.
Awesome. Awesome. Next is one of our tech marketing gurus for Virtual Volumes is Mr. Jason Massey. Jason, what's up, buddy?
How's it going, Pete?
Awesome.
Glad to be here.
Yes. Thanks for coming. And the rest are all partners. These are just a sample of some of our awesome VVOL partners, starting with Mr. Andy Banta from NetApp and SolidFire. Andy, what's up, man?
Hey, how are things?
Awesome. Thank
Thanks
you.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, man. I'm excited to chat. Next to you on my list here is Cody Hosterman from Pure. Cody, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks. Good to be back.
And next to you is Mr. Paul Morrissey from Hitachi Data Systems. Paul, what's up, buddy?
Great. Thanks, Pete.
We also have Bharath Ram from Nimble, but now known as HPE. Bharath, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thank you very much. Appreciate you having me on the call today.
And lastly on my list here, I see Mr. Eric Siebert from HPE. Eric, what's going on?
Hey, not much. Excited to be on the number one podcast as voted on the top V-blog.
Thank you very much. Yeah, yeah. So for those of you that don't know, the top V-blog every year is hosted by none other than Eric Siebert. So Eric, yeah, thanks for all that. And also thanks for joining us today to talk about VVols. Cool. So big group, all VVol partners, all VVol experts. And so on this call, John, I thought it would be awesome if we brought some of the big brains in and we got an update. Let's hear what's going on in the world of VVols. You know, usually when we were talking about VVols early days, it was like, hey, people, you really should like this thing. It's awesome. And then you know, but I don't think that's what the conversation is these days. I think now people, you know, vSphere 6.7 is up and people are moving off older versions of vSphere and actually diving into VVol. So I think the conversation has changed. I think it was a good time to actually bring in the boys and maybe get some customer conversations going. What do you say?
Sounds good.
All right. Well, before we dive into the deep stuff, why don't we set the foundation? Brian, we'll start with you as the product manager. Tell us, what is Virtual Volumes or VVols?
Sure. Thanks, Pete. So just, you know, in a nutshell, VVols is a way to more efficiently manage your storage in a much more simplified way. And sort of at a high level here, VVols enables the management at a much more granular level and allows you to do that on a per VMDK basis. So managing at the virtual disk level rather than, you know, entire volumes of disk. And along with that, you can layer on storage policy-based management, and SPBM or storage policy-based management gives you the ability to set policy and manage those virtual disks using a policy manager. And really a key feature of this is the ability to leverage native array-based capabilities like replication and snapshots and letting the storage array take over and manage those things more efficiently and offload those. And essentially, tying all these pieces together, this essentially eliminates the inefficient handoffs between the virtual infrastructure admin and the storage admin, making it more simple to manage large amounts of storage.
Nice. Yeah. Matter of fact, I was right before the call, I was on Twitter and I was actually looking for something on Cody's page and I saw somebody had tweeted to him and they were like, oh, the thing I love about VVols is that I went from hundreds of LUNs to manage just a few volumes. You know, it's easy on the mind, pretty on the eyes. And so I thought that was a kind of a cool way to say that. But
much better said than I just did here. So yeah, that's a great way to Great way to put it.
Oh, yeah. So, guys, one at a time, I'm really curious. I know how I pitch vVols to folks. I definitely, you know, for to me, the real quick one is it's simpler, smarter, faster. And we can go down any one of those lanes to dive deeper about, you know, how that is so. But I'm really curious, when you guys talk to customers about vVols, you know, what are some of the questions they have, and how do you explain it to people in a way that they can really see the value?
Yeah, so, I mean, one of the biggest features of vVols is the ability to actually do things at a VMDK granular level. So, you know, it's just trying to manage things at a VMFS level makes it very difficult to have much differentiation between various different VMs that you're running unless you have them on an individual VMFS file system. You run into things like target limits in that case. Just the granular manipulation of it is one of the big things. And the other piece is the more logical separation you get with storage containers. So rather than having to create a zillion different VMFSs when you run out of space or run out of throughput on them, you can actually just have storage containers separate them out. So it's like, you know, having 14 different VMFS data stores for one department is ineffective.
Okay. Yeah. Well said. Cody, what about you?
Yeah. So, I mean, like often it depends on the conversation, but often I'll start off as, hey, tell me one problem or 10 problems or 50 problems that you have with your current storage implementation in your VMware environment. And then I kind of go into how vVols can solve that. But in the end, one of the most strategically important things, especially as someone that runs VMware integrations for a storage company, is that, you know, there used to be this competitive nature to the number of plugins you had, right? It's like, hey, we have the best storage integration because we have 18 plugins. Right? We're better because we have 23, you know? And it started getting to this whole just wild scope of plugins. And now I have this new feature, I got to update that. I have that new feature. Oh, VMware has a new release, got to start. This crazy amount of things to track. And what vVols really allows you to do is get that storage provisioning and management, the core stuff, the basic stuff that all these random plugins were built for, directly into the intelligence of vCenter. And so the plugins that we offer around that can now just simply just be icing on the cake, right? Not really the core part of it. And that really simplifies the infrastructure. And this is what's led us to have conversations with other BUs within VMware, besides just the storage BU, about what we can do as Pure with their different offerings inside of VMware, whether that be Site Recovery Manager, vRealize, whatever, right? I think there's a lot of opportunity there.
There's two things I really liked about that. I like that whole conversation about how these plugins, when they touch so many different elements of vCenter, the lifecycle on them was actually kind of terrible sometimes. I remember as a customer, there was a case where I was a year behind on VMware releases because I had a plugin that it was still trying to figure out how to support the next major release because it did too many things and had too many weird hooks. And then the other thing, being able to work directly with those other products, being able to have, you know, tighter integrations with vRealize automation, you know, get per desktop visibility, say into Horizon or things like that. That opens up some interesting avenues for what you can touch.
Yeah, Pete. I mean, just that, starting from Hitachi customers, what we see, a lot of customers still in that traditional paradigm of the server team, the network team, and storage team. And for those customers that want to drive the first step in storage automation or a better stored automation strategy, they take on vVol as a step to kind of get rid of the service ticket-based approach, get a single pool of storage presented to the VM teams. And that's the first step on the vVol journey, really, just get rid of the service ticket-based approach is what we see.
I like that. A step towards automation. We should go down that road in a little bit, but I'm still curious here. So, Bharath, what about you? You're over at Nimble HP. What are folks saying over there?
Yeah, I mean, I think touching on points that everybody covered, it's the nail on the head, right? Managing everything from the vCenter. I mean, storage is always thought about being something complicated, but it's not. But in this case, you know, it brings the virtual admin so much more closer to storage that they can just use those plugins and, you know, workflows built within the vCenter, and they can provision the storage and bring out all the capabilities like, you know, compression, dedupe, replication that the storage itself provides, and they can control and, you know, manifest it in whatever way they want, implemented whatever they want within the vCenter plugin itself. So that's pretty, pretty unique with vVols. And I think that's the main drive for most of our customers.
You know, I find that most customers just don't understand what vVols gets them, and that, you know, VMFS works for them. They don't really know any better. And until you take the time of explaining the benefits of, you know, it's all about being dynamic and automated with vVols. All the provisioning is, you know, dynamic. The reclamation is dynamic. There's no more LUN management at all. And then all the other side benefits you got to be well, you know, kind of the snapshots, you know, based on the array, all the replication, all the granular array features that you put at a VM level, is really, there's a whole host of benefits there. And that really you have to take the time to explain to customers exactly why, you know, the challenges that they may or may not perceive on their current VMFS, and how vVols changes the game of storage and really provides true automation and storage policy-based management.
Okay, so I guess in a word, I guess you would say that
lungs suck.
Would that be a fair assessment?
Exactly. I knew that was happening.
Farewell to lungs.
Yeah.
Forget RDMs on that too.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it seems like to me the theme so far has been a lot about simplicity. It seems that vVols definitely simplifies a lot of operations, especially the larger organizations. I mean, you know, having less data stores to manage, less LUNs, you know, really just focusing on policy, I think is I think that's definitely a huge attraction. But that seems like the conversation that we had initially to get people involved. Have you guys had any large customers that are actually using vVols? And what are folks saying out there? What are you hearing from some of your customers?
Well, I'll start on that. We have a huge customer that actually has about 2,000 systems running vVols. It's the only way that they go about doing it. They're very happy with it. They are deploying it in new data centers all over Europe at this point. From the NetApp HCI and SolidFire side of the house, we also have a bunch of very happy customers who just really like the idea that they can do the logical separation. That it gets, lots of times these are very small IT departments where they're not going to have a bunch of separate admins. They're going to have like a staff of two or three people running the entire organization, and they actually like vVols because it allows them to actually manage their everything from one location. So both ends of the spectrum, we have the very large and the small and medium-sized customers, and they all, you know, see the benefit of getting rid of storage admins, being able to run everything from a single console and run everything consistently and replicate it out as necessary.
So Andy, you bring up an interesting point of getting rid of the storage admin and that. And, you know, that's one resistance I see across some customers that have storage admins, and that they don't necessarily like the concept of giving up control on the array and allowing the storage to be automatically provisioned and that. So how do you combat against the kind of the storage admin mindset and that with vVols and that? You know, I think it's a win-win situation where if you explain exactly what's happening and you give the storage admin visibility into the VMware side to see what's going on, that it works and that. But I think initially you often come up against resistance on the storage admin side because they don't want to really give up that control.
There's some of that. And I mean, some of that can be controlled by, you know, just making sure that storage containers are adequately sized or proper provisions are set up on them. If you can actually control a storage container a lot the same way that you can control settings on like a VMFS data store, you can potentially limit those possibilities. But you do run into these situations in some cases, but you know, at this point, how many organizations have a server admin or how many organizations have a DB admin? The specialized administration tasks are largely going away in IT operations.
Yeah, something I wanted to bring up, and this actually will kind of continue, maybe Cody and Broth, everybody can kind of comment on that, is I've had some customers when I talk to them about the storage admins and their concerns, and then I start explaining more insight into problem VMs. You can actually narrow it down to a single disk and say, hey, you know what? This single disk is having problems on the array. I mean, is that what you guys are seeing now? I mean, I know that a lot of the interfaces now, especially with vVols, you now have complete insight into the array and what the virtual infrastructure is doing. Cody, you were going to say something?
Yeah. So, I mean, what's been interesting is the inconsistency across my customer base, in the sense that people didn't use VMFS for a strategic reason, right? If you ask them, why are you using VMFS? They're like, well, I got to put my VM somewhere, right? But when I ask customers, why are you using vVols? Everyone has a different answer. Some are like, hey, you know, like I love to be able to take the snapshot and present it to other VMs instantly, all this kind of stuff. Some of them are like, we are very siloed, right? And we have our VMware team that does our VMware stuff, we have a storage team. And the storage team loves it because they now know what VMs are where, what virtual disks are doing what, what's the performance on them, what hosts are running those virtual machines. The storage team actually has a lot more insight. And because of the snapshot mobility, they can even restore, undelete VMs, all that kind of stuff directly from the array, right? So there's actually additional value that they can do. And everyone's use case is very different and the reason that they're using it. And so the benefits has been fun to watch.
Well, Cody, you just spoke for about 30 seconds and hit about 9 topics that we could probably go down a road and talk about 30 minutes. Way to just like spew out all that goodness in 30 seconds. But snapshots, right? Amazing things that you can do with snapshots, cloning and spinning off with other VMs. Awesome. But the one I think that's important that you touched on, especially as it pertains to Eric's initial question, is when a storage administrator has some fear, I would imagine that vVols alleviate some of that fear, mainly because of the visibility. You know, you can see a lot more, you know, instead of just seeing a file, a LUN, and not really knowing, you know, where there is any contention or what's happening, you can can literally see individual VMs and be able to speak the same language as the virtual administrator. So I feel like that should almost be a benefit as opposed to a fear. But the other part was, is it storage management that storage administrators are a fear, like or storage use? You know, I'm afraid to let the virtual administrator provision it because they're going to just go nuts and I'm going to run out of storage. Is it the space that's the fear?
So Pete, I would say it's more the space. Yeah, I mean, a lot of storage admins like the value, but they also like just to have the control factor where can they control it, where they can dial it back when required. And so it's just moving from a certain paradigm to this new paradigm is a little learning curve. But once they get deployed over 3 months, they're fully comfortable and they like it. So it's just getting over that initial hump, I think, of getting the experience with it.
Yeah, actually, I have data to back that, you know, what we just talked about, right? So we had a customer who was in the lower end in doing a POC with VWalls, but we looked at the data probably 2 months later and they were ramped up. They were in the top three VWall customer usage in our customer base itself. So, you know, they were close to a 10K volume within 3 months. So it's about the first hump, as you mentioned, you know, getting over it, getting used to the way VWalls are implemented and managed. And once you get that, people start loving the way the granular recoveries and all the features that's been brought over to the vCenter itself.
Yeah, in fact, with the granular control, one of the more interesting things is storage admins or virtualization admins actually have to figure out what each individual VM is doing these days instead of just trying to lump them all together and say these VMs as an aggregate work this way. So that has been one of the comments that I've gotten from several of our VVOS customers is it takes a little bit more homework up front to actually do the profiling, figure out what needs to happen with the individual VMs. And, you know, that could be kind of the role of a storage admin as well. But they also say that once they actually have an awful lot of the policies figured out, that it becomes very simple. It's very easy to say, okay, you know, this VM should have these types of policies, this VM should have this type of policies, and just cookie cutter them out rather than try to, you know, jigsaw puzzle them into a VMFS data store. So that's one of the cases where if you have a storage admin, one of the things that they actually can figure out here is what each one of the individual VMs is doing rather than just looking at them as aggregates.
Well said, well said. So what about, you know, when we're talking about storage and preserving space, what has been your experience so far with customers around UNMAP? You know, I know taking care of space has always been a primary concern with VMFS, unallocated space, orphaned space, if you will, sitting on the arrays. Has anybody been taking advantage of the ability of space reclamation with VVols and any input on that, good or bad?
So I tweeted out a screenshot from one of our customers' arrays. This is maybe about a year ago when they had storage remotioned all their old VMs that used to be thick provisioned on VMFS to VVols, which were thin provisioned. And Windows caught wind of it, right, when Disk Optimizer ran, and they reclaimed all of this space. And they actually ended up getting 30% of their array back, which was about 10 terabytes of capacity. And now, do most of our customers get a third back? No, but we certainly see everyone get some amount of capacity back because it's stranded space, not necessarily on VMFS, but within the VMs themselves.
I've talked to customers who we did the math between the array and the VMFS and the guest system usage, and we found a petabyte was missing. So, I mean, at scale, mind you, I think this customer had, you know, 6 or 7 petabytes, but no, at scale, this problem is very expensive.
It seems like even if you didn't want to go to VVols, it seems like, I don't know, but since VVols is free, I feel like I would just go and then clean up my VMs and then move them back.
You talk about that, Pete, and I think that's another thing that comes up every once in a while is that people think that you have to, it's one or the other when it comes to, you know, NFS or VMFS or VVols, and it's not that case. It's and. So if they want to go out and test it, they can provision out a VMF or a VVols data store alongside whatever existing data store they're using now and see how it works, see how much space they get back, see the benefits of the SPBM. It's not a one or the other. They can put them in parallel, test them, see how it works.
Yeah, Jason, I'd second that. I don't think that's a well-known capability of VVols. It seems like customers would have to make a hard choice and they don't see, you know, VMFS, NFS, vSAN, and VVols all living together. And in fact, we design and test with, you know, all data store types, and they do work together. And so I think that's not something I think most customers are well aware of at this point.
Well, and certainly some of our customers are, because I try to make them aware. One of the things that is easy to point out to customers is, you know, you don't really need to go off and create new policies for your config VVols or your swap VVols or your mem VVols. So you can actually just create the VM itself on a VMFS data store and then say, hey, this VM has VMDKs that exist on in vVol storage containers, and you want to set the policies on those individually. So that's actually a way to go about it as well, where you don't need to sit around trying to figure out what the policies for your config vVols or swap vVols are.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. So Brian, I know this is going to come up. I asked earlier for some folks if they had any questions about this podcast, and it was funny. The very first DM I got was SRM support. Elephant in the room, I think, what is it,
8.2?
Yeah, 8.2 just came out.
8.2, that's what it was, 8.2.
But it does not yet have vVol support. And as most folks know, we made some pretty bold announcements at VMworld last year in Las Vegas around vVol SRM support, and that we were intending to integrate that into a future SRM release.
Yep.
And
when you say we, you meant you.
Well, I meant the site recovery manager team. The SRM team has some work to do to integrate that, and they're well on their way to doing that. And we'd be looking for that in a future SRM release. I can't say what release or when that will be, but I can say that there's very active development going on there. And I think just making that announcement for us and committing to this has re-engaged not only customers, but our partners as they're working to get their vVol 2.0 implementations, if they haven't done one of those already, to start work or complete work on those implementations, because those are going to be required for Site Recovery Manager to work with the array-based replication support in vVol. So I think that's a big one. It was a big announcement. And two, I think it's reignited interest in virtual volumes again with partners and customers. So that's great.
Absolutely. Yeah. I didn't expect, like I knew, you know, I heard the announcement at VMworld and I was like, oh yeah, so that tells me that it's coming. It certainly was no promise that it was going to be in a couple of months. And so, you know, I don't think it was a huge surprise that it didn't come in this version of SRM. Different story if the next version comes around and it doesn't have support. Is it fair to say with, you know, we don't have every partner that's, you know, using vVols on the call right now. We do have Pure and NetApp, SolidFire, HP, Nimble, et cetera, HDS. Is it fair to say that all your customers are using SRM? Anybody, is that a big conversation for everybody, or is there somebody that's not a conversation?
At HPE, we have a really big install base of SRM. So we hear it a lot that customers need SRM support before they'll consider vVols.
Okay, cool. All right. Just curious.
Yeah, we heard, as a product manager, we heard that loud and clear. And again, the reason why we're pushing so hard to move that capability forward in a future release here of SRM.
Yeah. Well, the replication support goes beyond just SRM as well. I mean, we certainly hear from an awful lot of customers who say that they need the replication support even if they're not using SRM. So it's like the replication piece is very important even if you're not using SRM.
Yeah, you definitely want to get over and be able to utilize that array-based replication. I mean, the arrays and the replication obviously are very efficient at transferring information back and forth. And plus the granularity and simplification with SPBM and vVols and replication just makes it so much easier.
Sweet. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, if you're gonna replicate something, SRM would be a beautiful way to orchestrate that. But obviously, most array vendors are already replicating. It's just the matter of vVols being able to intelligently identify, hey, that moved, and that's where it is, without having to go behind the scenes and figure out paths. yeah, that would be dangerous.
Yeah, there's nothing like trying to do DR where you've replicated some LUNs, you've replicated some volumes, but you have to sit there and manually mount everything and figure out the startup order. And, oh, did anyone move the networking? Oh, God. Yeah, no, it's nice having something that you can do that, automate that as well as test it with.
Sounds like something that Cody would have already scripted and had done, but we don't want him to do that, so.
Too late.
Cody, on the topic of automation, I know that you're one vendor, you know, you're at Pure, but you certainly have done a wealth of contribution for the entire vVol community, if you will. So you share a lot of content that applies to all vendors. And we're going to leave some links to some of the content. If you want to learn more about vVols, there's a lot of content on all the sites, but certainly some of the work on Cody's blog, CodyHosterman.com. But you've done some interesting things around vVols that I haven't seen everybody do. And my assumption, correct me if I'm wrong, is that everybody can do this. But you share an interesting use case about cloning vVols and then applying those to other VMs for testing. Can you share a little bit about that?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So one of the probably the first major use. So when we were doing our beta 2 years ago, right, what we were really looking for beta customers is not just does it vVols work, right? I mean, I think everyone else here has proved that out many years ago, right? It's really about what interesting use cases can be achieved, right, that haven't maybe been tried before. And a big part of the pain that customers had around VMFS was snapshots, right? In the end, VMFS was causing storage arrays to be hamstrung, right? Hey, I can snapshot instantly. I can restore this instantly. Well, not with VMFS, right? You got to clone it, you got to resignature, bring it up, move it over, right? And so all this orchestration was built on top of it. It was one of the single reasons we had DBAs refuse to virtualize. They're like, hey, I have this script that does, you know, copy from snapshot, refreshes my database. If I move to VMFS, I have to talk to the array, I have to talk to VMware, I have to talk to the guest. The script now becomes 300 lines or 200 lines or 50 lines, whatever. It's not one. And so that was one of the main things that we had people test. It's like, yeah, take a vVol on the array, whether you created a snapshot from VMware, right, using right-click and take snapshot, or you went on the array and created a snapshot policy or just a regular old snapshot and present it to other things, present it to other VMs. And they found they could do that. They could instantly present huge databases to copies of it to other VMs, to physical servers. One of the tests that our customers did is they took a Windows VM on vVols, shut it down, took that volume, presented it up to a physical server, booted it up. It's now a physical VM. Shut it down, booted up the vVol VM. It's now a virtualized Windows machine. We have customers sending it to AWS as well from RRA and presenting it up to EC2 instances. This data mobility has been what we've seen our customers really grab onto more than anything else. And one of the reasons I put a lot of content out that's agnostic is that I feel like us as storage vendors, there's a lot of value that we can now truly, really build on top of vVols. And so if I get the whole industry to really adopt it, then you know VMware buys in, customers buy in, and then I can get our engineering and our product management to invest in more. And that's what we've been seeing in the past couple of months, especially within our engineering. Some of our engineers are excited about VMware. They did not used to be 2 or 3 years ago.
And that's kind of the unique thing with vVols. It's not like other APIs like VAEI where everybody does it the same. vVols is kind of a blank slate for every partner. They can do with it with whatever they want and that. So vVols is basically a foundation, and then every partner can build whatever type of house they want on that foundation and that. So there's a lot of solutions. There are a lot of different unique things that every vendor is doing in that. And that's the beauty of vVols, and that you can really build whatever you want on top of that framework.
That was sort of the point. The whole idea with vVols was that storage vendors bring an awful lot to the table in terms of capabilities and distinguishing features. And VMware wanted to open that up to the storage vendors.
Yeah, and I think everyone amongst this group has seen that. And Andy, maybe you can drill down a little bit and talk about how vVols are working in even an HCI environment with the on the SolidFire side. That's again another unique use of virtual volumes in an HCI environment.
Right. I mean, HCI, is a growing market at this point, and the whole idea with HCI was that it was a nice, easy way to scale out compute and storage systems, in some cases together, in some cases independently. But the scale out, it works nicely with vVols in that you can actually create storage containers, as I was talking about earlier, and have them, continue to grow in size as needed for whatever the use case is for that storage container, rather than have to go out and create a bunch of different ones. HCI works very nicely in that if you have multi-tenants on an HCI system, each one of those tenants can set up their own policies, have their own logical separations, be able to deploy VMs to match the policies that they would need. In fact, we actually have a way set up where you can do this through vRealize automation, where you can actually say this tenant will deploy these VMs with these policies in the storage container, as opposed to a different tenant that will have different policies and different storage containers. So vVols works nicely in terms of that. Was there something specific you were thinking about, Brian?
Yeah, I think just showing diversity of use cases, and that's one thing. As a product manager for this, it's not just one thing I hear why customers adopt vVols, as was mentioned earlier. It's a wide variety of use cases, and even things that I think we didn't expect customers to do. And Cody just pointed out one where physical to virtual is mobility, data mobility, and mobility from cloud to on-prem, things of that nature, where customers are really finding, and the partners are finding, unique use cases here for the technology.
Right. And actually, the SCSI 3 reservations capability that was added with ESX 6.7 is huge as well in terms of being able to run clustered systems. So that goes nicely with Cody's point of clustered systems often had to have their own LUN set aside to do SCSI 3 reservations. And now that you can do that in vVols, you can run it through your virtual environment as well.
Another great use case we're seeing from customers that come back in, that are saying that's exactly what they're doing.
You need to put your no RDM sticker right next to your no LUN sticker, Pete.
Good call.
Or actually, Jason, put it on the back of your microphone so you two can, contrast each other.
Right.
And Pete, back to your data mobility question, I think kudos to Cody. Certainly, a lot of the data mobility blogs he's done is certainly give customers like what if possibilities. I was speaking to a customer last week that wants to deploy Kubernetes on VMware, and they're asking, can they do persistent storage with vVol as part of their deployment strategy? And of course, no, they can. So I think vVol is certainly a good foundation for automation, but certainly opens up a lot of possibilities that customers now are investigating for future architectures as well.
I think the containers it's really the thing where people may say, I've got 50 LUNs, I got 15 VMFS volumes, I can manage that. When you start saying I've got 2,000, I've got 10,000 containers, the management overhead of that's just going to break down. So yeah, being able to offload that is an incredible valuable thing.
Yeah, at HP Nimble Storage, we actually lead with vVols when you talk about the cloud, because it gives the granularity of moving a particular volume, right? You can pick and choose. Let's say if it's a SQL Server, I just want the data volume to be moved. I can just pick that volume and replicate it to the cloud, and then I can attach to either an EC2 or an Azure VM. So that's how good the data mobility is with vVols, and we kind of lead that into our conversations in the cloud.
I like it. I like it. That's what I like to hear. Yeah, leading with vVols, I love it. Yeah, and again, this is just a sample of vendors that are out there. There were some other folks that were supposed to come on, and we had some scheduling issues with IBM and Dell, et cetera. But yeah, there's definitely some momentum. Brian, I won't bore you with the details. We'll certainly put links on the site, but momentum still moving in the right direction, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's boding well for the program in general. As we've, I think we really reignited the program here in the last 18 months. We're seeing steady adoption, but probably more importantly, as I look at our phone home data, both the capacity growth on vVol data stores vVol storage containers is really growing at a pretty rapid pace. And really shows me customers have long moved from evaluation into deep deployment just based on the capacity utilization on vVol. So strong movement in adoption as we move forward, and as we strengthen the roadmap with things like SRM, I think that's only going to bode well for the program overall. So good stuff going on there.
So Brian, you say that we're to adoption from the phone home. Is that because you're seeing 50 petabytes, and we assume people don't have test dev environments that large? Or
yeah, I think absolutely. I think you're seeing certainly much much greater than that. But the growth has been really strong, and again, even surprising month to month about how much it has been growing, even as the product manager for this for the last few years. So I think that's again, I think it bodes well having a strong roadmap which we've been sharing with our partners and to customers on an NDA basis. But I think that alone, and then adding things, as we mentioned earlier, around future support for Site Recovery Manager, which seems to be kind of the last big piece of functionality customers have been looking for. So I think it's good for the program overall. So
yeah, probably Brian can attest this as well. Nimble Storage, we've seen a large implementation of vVols over the years. And I was just looking at some numbers today, and we actually have 250,000 vVol volumes implemented right now. And talking about growth itself, we've seen close to 70% year-over-year growth in number of arrays that's been leveraging vVols. So it's been a great, a climbing ladder for everybody. Once they start using vVols, they're on the bandwagon, right? They want to use more of it. So it's been tremendous growth. And as Brian said, if we add more value and integrations to it, it's just going to go higher in terms of implementation.
Yeah, I just wanted to add on to Brian's comment that it's, we do see a lot more customers adopting it as well. And lots of times when I'm out talking about the NetApp HCI product, I use vVols as an example. And quite often customers will look at it and say, well, can I do this with VMFS as well? And the answer is you can, but why would you want to? It's just one of those things where it's like, yes, you have all these capabilities with VMFS, but if you're going to be, why not use vVols and actually make the best use of your vSphere system?
Oh, I completely agree. Yeah. Just because you can doesn't mean you should, right, John?
Yeah, no, it's always the Jurassic Park speech.
Very nice. Very nice. All right. So we are winding down. We're running out of time. I do want to hear what's new from folks on this call. You know, we don't have to go through the whole list. If there's anything blaring out there that someone wants to offer in terms of what's coming up, I'm actually hoping and looking forward that I'm going to see all these shining faces at VMworld. Usually people tie a lot of their updates and announcements around that time. Gentlemen, can I safely assume that I'll be seeing all your shining faces at VMworld?
Absolutely.
Yes. Definitely.
Yep.
Brian, are you doing another VVols panel? I think those have been well received.
No, I'm passing the baton to Jason this year. Jason Massey is going to be doing the VVol panel with this illustrious group. So I'm looking forward to attending and hearing that. So I'll be doing some other things on the VVol front. But for the panel, Jason's going to be leading this year. So
I want to.
Yeah, should be fun.
I want to see demos. I want to see demos on stage with all the vendors. Let's do a. Can we integrate some of these VVols somehow? Can you guys configure out how to, like, maybe we can, like, do a replication from HPE over to Pure through SolidFire? I don't know. Probably not.
We'll get working on that right away.
Is this like where you get storage virtualization turned on and you just virtualize in a loop across five different systems, Pete?
Exactly. I love it. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining. As I mentioned, we're going to be leaving tons of links on the show notes to all the different partner solutions, best practices, documentation, and a better understanding of what the different storage vendors are putting out there. But the overall answer is that VVols is simpler, smarter, and faster. And it's certainly cloud ready. We're seeing a lot of momentum on VVols. I'm excited about it. You guys know I do a lot of work on vSAN. I think vSAN is amazing, but I will always love VVols. I think there will always be a place for VVols in this world, and I'm super excited to work with all of VMware's awesome storage partners like you guys. So thank you for joining us today.
All right, thanks, Pete.
Thanks, Pete.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Sweet.
Thanks,
Pete. John, anything else before we take off?
No, that was fun.
Viva la VVols.
Viva la VVols. Yes, we need to bring back the sticker. So. Viva la
VVols. You got it. All right, well, that music tells me it's time to go. And so if you want to get in touch with us, send us an email at podcast@vmware.com. You can subscribe to us on your podcast app of choice by searching Virtually Speaking Podcast. You can catch this and all episodes at vspeakingpodcast.com. A big thanks to all the partners out there that are working with VVols. We're back next week, but until then, viva las VVols.
Enough of this jibber jabber.